Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. NBA Finals Game 1 is in the books. A Miami Night 92-84. The Heat take Game 1 over the Dallas Mavericks. The call number, as always, 347-215-6180. Follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or at Blog Talk, or at facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. Or listen to me at blogtalkradio.com/TheRealQuinn. Not the prettiest of games, not by any stretch of the imagination. Neither team cracks 40% from the field, but it was the Miami defense and their bench play that was the difference as they, again, take game one, 92-84. And, you know, you can look at this game, you can say, you know, everybody will talk about Wade, LeBron, and, you know, Bosh. They did what they did. All three of them played very well. But to me, I'm looking at the other side of the coin. And I identified this, I would say, about second quarter, mid-second quarter, maybe early third. Dallas has two guys on their team right now that absolutely cannot play in this series. And I'm talking about Peja Stojakovic and Deshaun Stevenson. Now, Deshaun Stevenson hit two threes. He made one three, a big three, to cut the lead to three, cut the lead from 6-3. But, you know, he's not going to shut down LeBron James, and he's not going to score enough points. They're going to need offense in this series if you're the Dallas Mavericks. So Stojakovic looked completely just, you know, he can't guard anybody. I mean, there were times where he was matched up against LeBron James, which obviously is a mismatch. And then there were times where he was, you know, you saw him, you know, trying to go against Bosh. But, those two guys cannot play in the series. And the reason why that's, you know, that's big is more Stojakovic than anything. Stojakovic is a guy who is going to get them some bench points. Because to me, the key to this game was the fact that the Miami bench outscored Dallas's bench 27-17. Dallas came into this series with, by far and away in the postseason, the best bench in the NBA, in the playoffs. And, you know, you got nothing out of Barea. He was, I believe, was like 1-8, had 2 points. Jason Terry, after a hot first half with 12 points, you know, didn't score in the second half. It was awful. It was awful in the fourth quarter. Couldn't buy a shot. Got nothing out of Stojakovic. You know, the only guy that really gave you anything off the bench was Brendan Haywood. I thought he played very well, gave him some rebounds, blocked some shots, hit a couple free throws. Really, they didn't lose anything when Tyson Chandler went to the bench. So, you know, if Miami is going to outscore them from the bench and then going to make 11-24 from three-point range, it's going to be a tough road for the Dallas Mavericks. Those are two areas to me that they have to dominate. You know, three-point shooting to a lesser extent, but from the bench, that's a no-brainer. Because there's no way that they're starting five is going to outplay Miami starting five. This is not going to happen. Miami, matter of fact, Dallas' best team, you know, doesn't even include Deshaun Stevenson. So, you know, again, ugly game, and I was watching a couple of things in the post game for NBA TV. Charles Barkley made a rare good point made by him. It seemed like it was like a feeling out game, that both teams were kind of nervous. Again, under 40% from both teams. I mean, Dallas' defense was fine. I had no problems. Yeah, Miami got a couple open 3-point shots, but you got to give something up when you have both Wade and LeBron. With both Wade and LeBron have it going, and you know, going, and they did have it going in that second, you know, third, in the second half in particular. So you're going to give up some open threes. So Dallas' defense really was not the problem. But you look at this series, and again, long series, you know, Miami took care of home court for game one, so no time to panic if you're a Dallas Maverick fan. But you're trying to look at the big picture. What, you know, how, the question you have to ask yourself is, how is Dallas going to generate offense? Because I know, you know what you're going to get from Miami's, you know, big three. You're going to get anywhere from, 60 to 65 points. Tonight they go for about 65. I mean, Wade had 22, LeBron had 24, Bosch had about 19. So tonight they go for over 60 between them. So you're going to get 60 to 70 points between them. Outside of Dirk Nowitzki, what are you going to get from the Dallas Mavericks offensively? Now, Sean Marion had a very good night, had a double-double. You know, 16 points, 10 rebounds, played some good defense, had a couple assists. But again, you eliminate Stojakovic. Put Stevenson, and you know, Stevenson is big because of his defense. But the bottom line is you need scoring. And I don't know how those two are going to play in this series. 92-84, Miami takes game one over the Dallas Mavericks. They will, of course, play game two on Thursday night in Miami. When we return, we'll have the turning point of the game. We'll talk about that. Also, key player of the game as well. 347-215-6180. This is a special edition of the Cereal Corner Review. NBA Finals game one in the books. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cereal Corner Review, NBA Finals post-game edition. Heat take game one, 92-84. They go up one game to nothing in the best of seven. Game two, of course, on Thursday night. Turning point in this game, to me, came in the third quarter. Dallas was up 51-33, had a hot start to the second half after being up by one at halftime. And then Dwayne Wade wakes up. Wade had a bad first half, only had 7 points, looked very sluggish, looked like that shoulder or may have been bothering him, just didn't look explosive at all. Third quarter has a big third quarter, has a big fourth quarter as far as defensively with some blocks and some plays and some assists. Was, you know, all over the place in the fourth quarter with not only was scoring, but again, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 20 finishes with 22, 10, and 6. And to me, his energy, once he got it going, to combine with the steadiness of LeBron James, who was kind of consistent throughout, then Dallas was in trouble because Dallas, outside Dirk Nowitzki, did not have that second guy in the first half. You look at the other, I mean, really, Sean Marion didn't have that second guy, you know, in the Sean Barry didn't have that second guy in that third quarter in the second half. I mean, Dallas basically in the second half, Dallas's offense was Sean Barry in the third quarter and Dirk Nowitzki late in the fourth quarter. Dallas did not do a good job of getting Dirk Nowitzki involved early on in that fourth quarter. He got going. He got loose late. He shot some free throws early in the fourth quarter, but you know, you have to get him. You have to get him off earlier in that fourth quarter in a game that's still close. It was only 65-61 going into the fourth quarter. But to me, Wade's explosion in the second half was the turning point, as far as I'm concerned. He had again big second half, 15 points. You know, passive block shots. Seemed like, you know, I don't know if he took a shot of adrenaline in the second half or whatever, but whatever it was, he came out a totally different player in that third quarter. Because you really were concerned in the first half watching him. He just wasn't moving well. I'm not going to say didn't look into the game, but just was not moving well at all. Second half, that was a different story. And Dallas had no answer for the Wade-LeBron combination. Bosch was steady, you know, with 19 points, 9 rebounds. But to me, Dwayne Wade's game performance in the third quarter was the turning point. When we return, we'll go through the key player of the game or key players. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Steel Court Review NBA post game, NBA Finals Game 1 post game, Miami 92, Dallas 84. We'll be right back. After the midnight hour, staying up late for you on this latest edition of Silver Queen Review NBA Finals Game 1 in the books. Heat take strike first, 92-84, a defensive game to say the least, only 44-43 at halftime. Both these teams, you know, struggled. Matter of fact, it was 17-16 after the first quarter. Both these teams still got it going in the second quarter, scoring 27 points apiece. Neither team shoots 40% from the field, though Miami did shoot the ball extremely well from three-point range, 11-24. LeBron James hit 4 threes, made some big three-pointers, including the one to end the third quarter to make it 65-61. And Tamar Chalmers hit a couple threes. Mike Miller hit one. Dwayne Wade hit one. Probably the biggest one of the game when the game was, you know, relatively still in doubt at 79. that's, I believe it was 79-72, or maybe it was a 6-point lead to make it a 6-point lead to make it a 9-point lead. But he made some big threes there over the course of this game. Key player of this game, I thought, and again, it's easy to pick Wade, LeBron, or Bosh. They played well, but none of them was spectacular to where you had to pick them to be player of the game. I would go another trio on Miami: Miller, Haslam, and Chalmers. You know, all season long, and all playoffs long, you've wondered, can the Heat win a championship, you know, without getting anything from their role players? I thought they couldn't, but lately they've been getting, you know, something from, you know, at least two of their role players in recent games. This game, it was three of them, as that trio combined for 25 points and 12 rebounds. Chalmers had 12 points. Miller, again, hit a couple big shots, had about 5 or 6 rebounds. Haslam played some pretty good defense on Dirk Nowitzki, though Nowitzki still had 27 points. Also had a 3-point play, had 6 rebounds. So, and you know, again, you don't need any of those guys to be great. If you can get, listen, if the Heat get 25 points and 12 rebounds out of those three, there's no question that they're going to win this series. You get 12, I mean, Mario Chalmers almost, you know, scored the equal amount of points of Jason Terry. That cannot happen if you're a Dallas Mavericks fan. That can't happen. I mean, Mario Chalmers cannot basically almost outscore Jason Terry, who is probably Dallas's second leading scorer. So you have to be happy if you're a Miami fan. Have to be happy what you got out of your role players and out of the bench. They were the keys to the game was the Miami bench outscoring Dallas's bench 27-17. And that was something I did not expect going into the series. I thought Dallas's bench would be the difference. But again, if they're going to, you know, if Miami's bench is going to outscore Dallas's bench or even going to play Dallas's bench even up, there's no way, and I mean no way in the world, that Dallas will win this series. Because, again, because those three, you know, Miami's best three players are going to outscore Dallas's best three players. Or maybe if Dallas is, you know, starting lineup for that matter. Is your call number. When we return, we will wrap up this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review NBA Finals post game. And preview, you know, talk about some adjustments that need to be made. Also preview game 2 as well. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. only been in after the midnight hour on this latest edition of the Silicone Review. Miami 92-84. Miami takes game one of the NBA Finals as we look ahead towards game two on Thursday night. And to me, from a Dallas perspective, you know, I think you have to, again, you start Deshaun Stevenson, yes, but to me, you have to see more. You got to cut his minutes and just give those more, give those minutes to Jason Terry or Jose Varane. I mean, I don't think you can have him on the floor too long because you're going to be lacking offense. Defense is not a problem for Dallas in this series. It's going to be scoring points. It's going to be scoring points. So that may be the, you know, the one adjustment that I would make from a standpoint of, you know, in terms of the rotation. Number two, listen, you cannot allow. Now I understand what Jeff Van Gundy was saying, talking about LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. LeBron James is basically going to play the whole game, so he's going to be on the floor. You know, to get 44 to 45 minutes, the way to a lesser extent, you're going to have to pick. I think that you're going to have to pick one of those guys to double team. You can't allow them to be to play one-on-one basketball. So I would say double team one of those guys and take your chances. If you give up a million threes, then you give up a million threes. I mean, that's just you're just going to trust what you're doing. You're just going to trust trying to take the ball out of one of those guys' hands when they have it going. You can't allow both of them at the same time to play one on one basketball. Can't do it because Dallas's best team is probably their weakest defensive team. When they had Terry on the floor, and Deshaun Stevenson off the floor. You know, their best lineup is probably Barea, Terry, Marion, Nowitzki, and Tyson Chandler, or again Jason Kidd. Put Barea out, depending on who's, you know, who has it going, either Barea or Kidd. And they're going to need something again. They're going to need something out of their bench. You have to get one of those guys going. Terry is going to get you double figures in most of these games, if not have a big, you know, 25 point game. You're going to have to get 10 to 15 out of Barea. I don't know what you're going to expect out of Stojakovic, to be honest with you. I just don't think he can play in this series. I really don't. So J.J. Barea, to me, is going to have to be an X factor in this series. Dallas had three players in double figures in this game. Marion, Nowitzki, and Jason Terry. I mean, from a Miami perspective, you know, I would have a short hook on Mike Bibby, to be honest with you. Mario Chalmers played extremely well, both sides of the ball. If Bibby's not going to make shots, then he's no good to you. He's absolutely no good to you. He's a liability if he's not going to make shots because he doesn't guard anybody. So, to me, Bibby comes out, 0 for 5, 1 for 4. He's struggling. He doesn't seem like he has it on Thursday. Eric Spoelstra calling Mario Chalmers, quickly off the bench. Both of them have won national championships in their careers. Both of them, Chalmers hit the game-tying shot, to get Kansas in there overtime. So neither one of them is afraid of the moment. But right now, Chalmers just looks a little bit more confident and sure of himself in terms of where his game is at. And despite the fact that Miami shot 11 for 24 from 3-point range, I saved the zone. I would make 3-point shots. If they're making outside shots, then, the series, you don't have a chance anyway. You got to give something up. Better than that, then, Wade and LeBron, ducking on your head. Also, to me, Dallas has to get the whiskey established from the start of the game. The whiskey is so patient that he'll kind of put himself to sleep. There were moments in this game, even in the fourth quarter, where you forgot he was even on the floor. That cannot happen in this series. So to me, game two, they're going to have to establish him and establish him early. But again, if you're Dallas, lose game one, and we understand the history of the team that wins game one, wins about 77%, 74% of the series. All you have to do is split, and then split and get 2 out of 3 at home. But some troubling, again, the troubling thing that I saw from a Dallas perspective is the fact that I just don't think. I thought the athleticism of Miami bothered Barea and Stojakovic. And again, I don't think that, and again, this is the one thing that just stuck out to me. I don't think that Stevenson or Stojakovic can play major minutes in this series. And that hurts you from a defensive standpoint, with Stevenson being off the floor, and from an offensive standpoint, with Stojakovic being one of the main weapons off your bench. So you remember when I said that, they had three guys that can come off the bench and get you 20 with, Terry Barea and Stojakovic. Well, you could basically eliminate one of those guys in terms of Stojakovic. He won't come near 20 in this series. And that's a dilemma for Dallas because, you need offense. But he's going to be such a liability on defense that, again, they can't have him on the floor. Should be an interesting game, too. Must win for Dallas. You cannot go down two games to nothing without home court advantage and face it, especially with this 2-3-2 format. They have to win that game to have any shot in this series. We'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens with game two. I expect them to try to get Dirk off early, one, and for them to, either double team Wade or LeBron. Wade or LeBron, even definitely double team if one of them is on the bench. But even if they're both on the floor at certain points, double team one of them so you can take at least one of them out of rhythm. Again, allow both of them to play one-on-one basketball is, to me, going to be a recipe for disaster. Thursday night, we'll be back with a game two post-game on the next edition of the Silk Review. So long. Have a great day.
Is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe, then why is this verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much while I write them like such words. Amongst the fiends controlled by the screen, what does it all mean, all this I'm seeing? Human beings screaming vocal javelin, line of a local unraveling. My wandering got my wonderful.